Mr. Trump moved the satellite and now we have contact with Leah Russell. Leah, good morning and welcome to the programme.
Good morning, Donny. How are you?
I am well. Leah, you are the early years coordinator with the Preparing for Life team at the Northside Partnership. We have spoken on many occasions and I have a time out and number eulogised in relation to the Preparing for Life team at the Northside Partnership, because the work you do is absolutely unbelievable, and I mean it has been documented and copied in various places at this stage. But we now are entering into a phase where maybe things are moving a little bit faster than we thought they would be. Now, I mean, 5-6 weeks ago, the thought of schools and creches opening up was unconscionable. Now we are getting closer and closer to that day. So where are we now with support for creches and preschools from the early years educators?
So I suppose ourselves here in Preparing for Life, we've a programme that we designed based on the fact that we've been going through a pandemic. So we've kind of set support that's going to run up as far as August, fortnightly professional development sessions to support educators coming back in. That's purely around supporting children. So I suppose, I know you had Amy on when the pandemic, when we kind of first started on lockdown, and she talked about stress and stuff. So we have to kind of think about the fact that all of the adults, you know, we're all stressed. Everybody is stressed over, you know, we're living through a pandemic. But we also have to think about how that's kind of impacted on our children. And we have children now coming back into earlier services that have probably had the best part of 2-2.5 months at home in a stressful environment where they kind of don't know what's happening, or what we kind of have this assumption that children are naturally resilient, and that really isn't the case. That children can only be resilient with the support of relationships and adults. So the program that we've set out over the next couple of months is around supporting children's resilience, so understanding how they may be feeling, what might be presenting in behaviours in children is as a result of kind of what's happened over the last couple of months. So really thinking about that. But we also have, and this afternoon actually, we have a session being run through the Northside Partnership. It's basically around the practicalities of opening the creche up again. So thinking about health and safety in terms of, you know, kind of spreading of germs and that type of stuff, so thinking about what that might look like. We haven't had much guidance from the DCYA, and I think that would be, if you speak to anybody who works in early years, manager or educator, and they'll tell you that we haven't really had very much guidance that's come from the DCYA. So at the moment, we're trying to kind of make it up as we go, even though we're supposed to be opening in a couple of weeks. So just kind of really thinking about the practicalities of adults coming back in, what that might look like for the children, how many children can be in a room, that type of stuff as well.
And that is a fascinating thing, Leah, because I am wondering, and I love the honesty of it, that you had to make this up basically on the hoof as you go, because let's be honest, there is absolutely no template that you can use when it comes to this. And that's brilliant, and we can talk later on about what sort of a template and what people can expect. But before we talk about that, Leah, and it's something you touched on there, and I'd be interested in your opinion on this. You know, we do hear that children are very resilient and they bounce back and things don't affect them the way they do adults, and they don't overthink things and they simplify things, blah, 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 blah. But your experience, and I'm just asking anecdotally, Leah, how has lockdown, COVID-19, because, I mean, it's been going on now from the back end of February and we're now on the 8th of June, so it's been going on for 4 months nearly. How has it affected small children?
I think it's kind of affected small children holistically, really. So, I mean, if you think about even in terms of their physical development, so anecdotally, again, we're hearing, you know, about, if you think about a child who's getting ready for school, to, in order to be able to manage your body and sit in a chair for whatever amount of time, you need to be able to have moved around, and you need to explore your senses. And we have a proprioceptive sense, which is about kind of where your body fits in terms of the area that it's in. And then we have a vestibular sense, which is around your balance and your inner ear. And we need those senses to be able to manage our bodies and sit in a chair. If you've not had the opportunity to go out and explore in playgrounds or even in your earlier service, a lot of children are living, actually a lot of children are living in homelessness and living in apartments maybe or hotel rooms, and they really haven't had the chance to do that. So physically that would be affecting their physical development. But then also in terms of social and emotional development, there's not an awful lot of interactions with outside of the family. And I'm going to put my hands up in the air and say I have three children. Green time has got me through this pandemic. I'm working full time. My children have spent a lot of time either homework on screens or when I'm in Zoom meetings, which most parents are who are working at the moment are spending most of the days in Zoom meetings. You know, the screens, everybody's been using the screens because you do what you do to get through the day. So that's kind of those, that kind of interaction with other children is gone as well. So there's a lot of different kind of aspects. I think even in terms of stress, you know, sometimes children, because they're egocentric, everything is about them. And when particular stuff is happening, if it's not explained to them, sometimes they can kind of make it understand that what's happening is because of them. So maybe they've done something wrong or, you know, so that's why it's really important that we, and Amy would have said that when Amy spoke when the pandemic first started, but that, you know, you really kind of would explain to children this is nothing to do with them and that they're safe and it's more because of the COVID-19 and that type of thing.
Yeah, I can only speak, of course, I mean, personally now, Leah, from my own experience with the grandkids and that, because the eldest one is 9, so he has a fair grasp of what's going on. And but I mean, you're talking the youngest lad, he was only 3 there the other day, so I mean, he just wants to be out and doesn't understand why he can't be out and why when he's brought out he has to be kept away from people. And I mean, it's the biggest problem I think that people are expressing is in a return to the creche environment or the school environment. Let's be honest, social distancing is an absolute no-no with small children. You cannot do it.
Yeah. And we know, I mean, we have had the very little amount of guidance we've had from the DCYA. We do now know that children under 6 won't be expected to socially distance. So that's a plus. We still don't know, however, what that's going to look like for adults. There's talk of play pods. So just to explain what a play pod is, it is kind of a little bit of misconception around. It's not actually a physical pod that children play in. But what it is, if you imagine a pod of dolphins or a pod of whales, that they're a group who move together. And that's basically what a play pod would be. So it might not necessarily be children that are the same age. What they're trying to do is encourage, instead of cross-contamination, they're trying to encourage children from the same families maybe to stay in the one pod, that type of thing. So if where you've got siblings attending a service, they might be in the one pod just to stop cross-contamination between houses and that type of thing. So we do know in terms of social distancing, for early years anyway, we don't know about schools yet, but we won't be expecting young children to socially distance.
And I would imagine that there is absolutely no point in trying to do it because they just won't. And it's as simple as that.
And what's really important as well when we're talking about resilience is that relationship piece. And we do a lot in Preparing for Life. We talk a lot about infant mental health and brain development and how our brain develops. It's through relationships, it's through touch, it's that whole piece, which we're missing at the moment because we're not getting. And it's going to be really important when children come back into services because, you know, it's that the attachment may not necessarily be there. And that's kind of something that we really need to encourage. I don't think we can underestimate, though, as an adult, the fear behind that. When you think about, if you've, like myself included, you've been, we've been encouraged to socially distance. Imagine what that's going to be like now, going back into an early year service, and all of a sudden, okay, the children don't need to socially distance. So now I've got six under twos all over me, and the impact that will have on the adults themselves as well, thinking about that, you know, because are you worrying about that kind of cross-contamination, that infection piece, and how's that going to, so that's kind of stuff that hasn't really been thought out, or we haven't, I'm sure it's all in process, in progress, and we'll get those recommendations over the next week or so, but at the moment, that's kind of what's causing the anxiety for early years educators anyway.
Yeah, and I mean, that's going to be across the board, you know, and there's no two ways about it. It is going to be across the board. But I have a feeling, Leah, that to borrow the old phrase in this country, we always seem to be able to find an Irish solution to an Irish problem. So I have a feeling that as things progress, a little bit of trial and error, that this will work itself out. So maybe people shouldn't be getting overly anxious at this stage. Leah, tell me more about the event happening this afternoon, please.
So this afternoon is really, we're having a session specifically for managers of earlier services in the community. It's just around risk mitigation and infection control. So we have a chap who's coming in, his expertise is in health and safety and that type of thing. So it's really just to, I suppose, ease people's minds based off of the recommendations that everybody has got across the board. We've all returned to work. This today is one of the biggest, I think, in terms of people returning back to the workplace. So we've all got guidelines and that type of thing. So this afternoon is really just about empowering managers just to kind of feel a little bit more comfortable and confident around that infection control piece. In fairness to earlier services and managers and educators, we are really good at this. This is part of our job. It's in our regulations. We kind of spend a lot of time cleaning, and, you know, like, because we'd have a lot of people in one area, if somebody gets sick, it's something that we do anyway. So I don't think it's going to be a huge piece. But again, it's just around kind of just confidence and that type of thing, and instilling confidence that people feel comfortable coming back to work.
And Leah, for people who might want to get involved in this afternoon, is it too late for them now, or do they go online, or how is it done?
If anybody wants to contact me or myself, Leah Russell, it's leah.russell@nspartnership.ie, or Cathy Reinhardt at NS Partnership. At this point, we may have one or two places left for this specific session, but we are looking at maybe doing something else. This one is really just for managers at the moment. The rest of our program that we have is more about practice, and that would be more about the educators and anybody who works within the Northside Partnership area. They don't necessarily have to be part of an earlier service that's on our program. They can contact me and we can maybe try and get them onto the program.
Leah, can I ask you, and I'm going to make this the last question, from your experience of the last couple of months, has there been anything positive that the early years team can take and use going forward?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, what I would say is, as I said, we work in the Northside Partnership area, so that's Dublin 3, 5, 13 and 17. And we've had the amount of early years educators that have come for our professional development sessions. We've had up to 40, 45. This is every fortnight. So I think the positive that we're taking from it is the commitment that our educators have to the children that they're working with. We're part of an ABC, an Area-Based Childhood Programme. You know, we kind of have a lot of sessions where we would talk. The ABCs are based around the country. A lot of services would talk about kind of, you know, trying to encourage educators and earlier services to engage with families during the pandemic. What I'm saying is our educators have been engaging, and we haven't had to encourage them to do that. they've shown a commitment to the families that they work with and the children that they work with. They're constantly in touch, and they've been coming up with like great ideas around kind of holding, still holding that the children's education in mind and getting them ready for school, even though they're not actually attending the service every day. They've been using social media. I've seen educators tell stories to the children online, just really maintaining that relationship at a distance, which has been, I have to say, it's been brilliant. And it's been so, for us here, it's been so positive to see that commitment there, you know, and it's great.
Leah Russell, coordinator with the Early Years Preparing for Life team at the Northside Partnership. Leah, thank you so much for joining me this morning. Look,
thanks,
all I can
Tony.
Do is wish you continued success, because you do an absolutely brilliant job. Thanks a million, Leah.
Thanks a lot. Thanks for your time.
No problem. That's what we're here for. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.